Few things are for sure in this life, but this is. If we live for any substantial amount of time, we will encounter grief due to the loss of a loved one. Not something any of us ever want, and we all handle it differently. This podcast is to feature those who have done purposeful and meaningful things through their grief. These people featured on here are normal folks, just like you and me, who were thrust into a place they never wanted to be in their lives. A painful place. As they move through their pain, they realize that something worthwhile, something for the greater good, could come out of the unthinkable. I'm sure that none of them would ever consider themselves to be a hero, but when I searched the definition of the word hero, I found this. A person who is admired or idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. And that fit. And so, it's my privilege to bring you the remarkable stories of these heroes in grief. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Heroes in Grief podcast. It's good to have you here today. Wherever you're listening, just relax, kick back. We're just going to talk here for a while, and it's very low key. So, if you're exercising, whatever you might be doing while you're listening to your podcast, just sit back and absorb the great message that you get here. And that is because of the guests that I have. And today I have Kara Sanchez. She is an author. She is a teacher. She is a podcast guest. She's put out an amazing magazine. She's going to tell you all about it. So I'm not going to get into it all, but she's going to tell you her story. And if you don't know about Heroes in Grief, it is about the stories of people who have done purposeful things with their grief. We've all learned in the grief community that when you listen to others, you always get one little nugget probably that just, you know, strikes with you. It doesn't matter what the story is, if it's different than yours or whatever, but you just absorb great things from it, and it helps you get along the journey of your grief. And that is the whole premise behind what Heroes in Grief is all about. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you Kara Sanchez. I'm going to let her just start rolling and tell us all where you're from, Kara. What's the story?
Yeah. So I am from the Chicagoland area, and I've pretty much lived here my entire life. However, I had met my husband in 2012, and for a little bit we did live in Hawaii. He was in the military, so that's where he was stationed. So I had the pleasure of doing that for about 2 years, and then we pretty much moved home, and we haven't really looked back since. We've been pretty much here. So my grief story starts with the unexpected death of my mom. She was on vacation when she passed, and this also occurred about 5 days after I gave birth to my youngest daughter. And so obviously it's never a good time to lose anybody. But that particular time, you know, now that I reflect about it, like, I was extremely vulnerable having just given birth. I had a very traumatic birth. I had COVID, and so did my husband. So they wouldn't let my husband be there with me. I had emergency C-section. I was separated from my baby. Like, just basically, you name it, it went wrong, you know, in that scenario. And so I felt like I had finally kind of gone over the worst of it and gotten over the hump. I finally got to hold my baby and meet her. And I was like, okay, this is going to be behind us now. And then I got the news that my mom had passed. And it was just such a shock to my system, because my mom was the most alive person that I have ever met in my entire life. She truly lived like 15 different lifetimes in her 57 years. So it really just caught everybody off guard. And the fact that she was not home, and she was in Italy, and she was overseas, like, it created a lot of different emotions, and it made it very complex and very just unimaginable. It felt like I was living a nightmare. Yeah. And yeah, it was a tough summer. Not a good summer.
Yeah, that brings a lot of issues on with grief, of course, when you've got compounding things happening. It's never a right time. Of course, everybody knows that. But, you know, you're dealing with, you know, the postpartum thing and everything. And there's some real things that I'm sure many out there have faced, you know, and not realizing it maybe. And so it's a great awareness to hear your story and hear those type of things that other people might be able to look at with someone they know, or maybe themselves. and say, hey, I've got these other things too, yeah. Because you get so focused, initially with the grief, that is everything, of course. You gotta be ready for these other things and making sure you take care of those too. So that's important.
Yeah. No, it is.
So then, time goes on, or maybe you can fill in the blanks, but, obviously the early times are dealing with everything you need to deal with. And then, so what happened from there?
Yeah. I mean, the weirdest part about it all is because mentally I knew that she was going to be on this trip for 2 weeks, that although I knew she had died, I just felt like she was still on vacation and that eventually she was going to come home. And so when my dad and the other members of the group, this was like a group trip that my mom had planned for all of her friends. It was like 30 people. They were all out there. And she ended up dying on like the first or second day of the trip. They all decided that they were going to finish the trip for her. Yeah, I just felt like, everyone was sending me pictures and little signs and things that they felt like she was sending them, encouraging them to finish. And so it really just felt like she was still there. It felt like she was still with them and they were finishing the trip together. And I don't think it really hit me until my dad came home and he, had multiple suitcases and it was just him, and that part was really difficult, watching him come home to an empty house, and having to process all of that. Especially since it was so unexpected. I think when people are sick and you know that there's a deterioration, there's some planning that goes into place as well. But when someone just dies suddenly like that, you're faced with the shock of it all, but then you're also faced with all of the logistics of having to plan a funeral and, filing for life insurance and, all of that stuff, all of the logistical things. And it's honestly just kind of like a nightmare. And I feel like there's just got to be an easier way or a more caring way that we could address that, because, watching my dad struggle with that was really hard for me. And just, I'm there with my newborn and like that is my priority, but I also felt like conflicted, like I wanted to be there and take care of my dad. So like that was this like a whole nother level to it of feeling like I needed to be in five places at once. And that's obviously not possible. And so that was a really difficult reality to face as well, is trying to process all of those things. And yeah, just like face the reality when it hits you. It's a lot.
Years are complex. There's no doubt about it. That's a lot on the plate. Mm-hmm. So what did you do to help yourself eventually? Like what helped you?
I think for me, I started to get curious about grief, and I would see different people, different profiles on Instagram. And for me, like that's kind of maybe where the seed was subconsciously planted. Just watching people who had lost a parent. I think for me, like seeing other younger people that had lost a parent, that's what resonated with me. And seeing them share their grief online and also give a glimmer of hope that there's still some happiness and some joy left, that's like really what I guess started my journey of like processing like the actual grief. But then I realized too that I needed to do something. Like I needed to keep my hands and my mind busy because I was still on maternity leave and I wasn't at work. And I'm honestly glad I wasn't at work, because as you can imagine, dealing with, 120 different types of teenagers all day while you're kind of in the depths of grief, that probably would not have been ideal either. Just, there's some students where I have a great rapport with and it's a beautiful relationship. There's other students where things get confrontational or I get very frustrated when I ask them to do things and they don't put away their phone. And so I feel like it was probably for the best that I was not there at school, because I feel like my wick was very short, and I wouldn't have had the bandwidth to handle that. Yeah. I found myself craving to something to busy my mind. And so one day I was just like really pondering on the fact that there was a lot of things that my mom and I didn't get to discuss, especially, being a new mom. There's so many like bits of information and gold nuggets that your parents have that are generational, and you just really wish that you could have had that information before, you know, it was too late. And so that really inspired me to write all of those conversations down. And that's kind of where I started, was with my guided journal, Legacy Letters. And that, yeah, I created a list of all the conversations, all of the pieces of information that I wish I had, like hard, concrete evidence. Like, this is what my mom would have said, or what she would have told me about different pieces of life. And I feel like that's something that carries on their legacy, and it makes you feel like they're still with you, even though they're not physically there. So I created that in honor of my mom, and also in honor of my daughters. Like, I wanted to make sure that I never left them in a similar position where if something happened to me, if I got in a car accident, if, you know, whatever, who knows, life happens. I wanted to make sure that, yeah, I could leave a piece of myself for them that would be there for them no matter what. And so, yeah, that was my first project, was creating and publishing Legacy Letters. And then from there, everything just spiraled. It just blew up, you know, it became something larger than life. And I just felt like I had to continue pursuing it. It got to the point where I couldn't avoid it anymore. Like, it just felt like something that ended up being my purpose. I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it other than the fact that, like, it comes very easily for me. It flows, you know, all the different things that I'm involved with.
Before we go too far, I want to expand on the Legacy Letters. That's how I met you, by the way. I did the same when I was going to start the podcast. I did the same thing. I got involved with a grief community on Instagram. I have this knack for being able to network. And so I got on Instagram. I started following everybody who had something to do with grief and, you know, building up the base or whatever. And so that's how we got acquainted. And you're one of the first persons I ever connected with on there. So just a little note for everybody there. But we've been thinking about doing this since last summer. I know that. But that was me. That was me with the podcast too. But so Legacy Letters intrigued me, and now I looked at it, and it's available on Amazon, right, and other places. It's a guided journal, right? You help people through it on how to do it for them. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's just like the teacher brain of that's just the way I operate. That's a very complex topic. Is like, hey, let's think of all the things, all of the important messages you would want to leave to your loved ones. I can imagine that's very overwhelming for people, and it just feels like a lot. It's very heavy. I broke it down into like different segments and themes and topics, and they really are like scaffold. It's purposefully written in like a whimsical way, so it's not too heavy. And I personally feel like it almost is something fun to fill out. I don't like to use fun and grief and death all in the same sentence, but sometimes that's just how it is. And I do think that it's something that while people fill it out, they get to reflect on their own life, which is extremely meaningful and significant. But then they also really get to reflect on how much other people mean to them. And I think that that's an important thing to do and to touch on and reflect on from time to time, because life moves really fast, especially in our society. We're constantly occupied with our work and getting to appointments and all that stuff. And sometimes it's just nice to hit the pause button and really think about what are the most important parts of my life and how do I make sure that I'm honoring those things from time to time. So yeah, I feel like I broke it down into very small bite-sized pieces, so it's not overwhelming for people.
And you guide them, right? You help them through it. So if someone's out there thinking, well, I wouldn't know where to start with that, you're asking questions in there or giving them suggestions on how to do that, right?
Yeah. Like everything basically is super specific. So like there is an all about me section, but you know, it's create a playlist for your loved ones of like all of your favorite songs and why you love them, or identifying your favorite parts of like every season and why that is so special to you, or I don't know, a last meal. Like if you had to think of a last thing you would want to eat before you left your physical body, what would it be? And so it's just like very specific pieces of information that truly describe your personality and who you are.
Now, I would bet that people start coming up with their own things, which is great. That's probably the best case scenario, right? Where they start like, hey, I could do this, or I can write this in there, or I could, you know, come with this question or make it personal.
Yeah, no, I left some pages blank at the end. That's like kind of like a freestyle, making sure that if there was something I didn't cover, that they were able to cover it. I don't know. I want to say it was like over 55 different types of prompts in there. So it's definitely very specific.
Now there's two journals, right? What's the difference with those?
Yeah. So Legacy Letters is more of something that you personally fill out, and it doesn't have to be something that you leave behind. Like, it doesn't need to be a secret. Like, you could always just give it to whoever once you complete it, you know, it could be a gift to them. But the No Legacy Lost journal, that's more of a memory and grief journal. And we won the lottery in terms of the fact that not only did my mom pass away, but my mother-in-law passed away like right before my mom did. And so we are raising our children with no grandmas. And that to me is so heartbreaking, because I loved my relationship with both of my grandmas growing up. And some of my favorite memories of childhood are with my grandmothers. And so that just like, it really crushes me to think that both of my girls will not have a relationship with them. And so it was super important to somehow preserve their memory. And so same idea. It's a guided journal, very specific, talking about someone who has passed. And so that way you get to get their essence on paper. And I really feel like once my girls are older, you know, I have a 3 and a 1-year-old right now, but once they're older and they can read, I just thought, how beautiful would that be if, you know, they could pull that book down from the bookshelf and they could read about their Grandma Abby and their Grandma Laura, you know, and make it seem like they knew them. And so that was really important for me, is to create something that preserved that legacy, because that was also a thought that came into my mind of, oh my gosh, like I still have to live, I don't know, 60 more years, right, without my mom. And that's longer than I knew her. And I'm afraid I'm going to forget her. And so it was just really important to me to have something that you could safe keep memories.
Yeah, the fear of forgetting, you know, that does come for sure. I'm only a year out from losing Jeff. And like I just posted that little short about saving his voice message on his phone for his voice. You know, there's not a lot of videos of him. I have one little one where he's not even talking in it. Yeah. So you want to remember those things. We'll never forget them, of course, but it changes. And, you know, we want to keep that in place. It's better nowadays, maybe with the technology and everything, where we can do some of those things. But yeah, that's a fear for sure. There was a great term. I saw someone put one time where they talk about grief being equated with love. But, you know, grief is definitely, you know, the love we've lost for sure. But I don't like to equate it with love. You know, I this person said, if we equate grief with love, then if we lose some of the grief, we feel like we're losing the love. And that's not true. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And just, you know, I always try to encourage people with that. You're never going to lose them. You're never going to forget them. It does change, though. And so you want to make sure that you, you know, implant those things, like you said. So, yeah. So you're a busy woman for sure. I'm sure everybody tells you that. And, yes. You know, but
yes,
you're doing great, awesome things. And so then what's the next thing that came up for you after the journals?
Yeah. So, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I don't want people to think that like, this is something that's like all I think about. It's just that these ideas come to me and I don't know how to describe it other than like a download. It comes in and it's almost like a blueprint of like, you need to do this. And that's kind of how the magazine came to me, specifically because I felt like, maybe you feel this way, I don't know. I knew I had all of these ideas and products that were of value, but no one seemed to care. And I felt like I was constantly plugging myself to like different news organizations or groups, trying to get my message out there of how important it is to get your legacy down on paper. And it was exhausting, you know, trying to get my message out there. And I had interacted with so many other people in the grief community, because with my Legacy Letters account, we would do like memory chats where I would have people on Instagram Live and I would read different prompts from the memory, like No Legacy Lost journal. And we would just sit and talk for 20 minutes about the people that had died in their life. And they would also tell me their stories of all the different things that they've done, you know, creating greeting cards, writing books, starting grief groups. And I'm like, this is incredible. Like, I feel like one thing that most grievers have in common is that they feel a need to create something that helps others. And not only is it helpful to themselves and it's like healing for themselves, but it's just helpful to others that are new to grief and they need, you know, a helping hand getting across that bridge. And so I don't know. I just felt like those stories needed to be told. And I know that, you know, that's one of the reasons why you started this podcast as well. Yeah, I was just like, man, if I'm tired of pitching myself, I know these people are tired of pitching themselves too. And so I just really felt like we needed to create like a space that's almost like a billboard for grief. And it doesn't need to be a billboard for grief that continues to like make people detest it and don't want to approach it. I wanted it to be approachable. I wanted it to be, again, fun. I know that it's like hard for people to understand, like, how can grief and fun be in the same sentence? I think it can be. And especially when we have no other choice, right? Like, we either have the option to continue to sit and be sad and like stew in it, or we have the option to let it evolve us and we can grow from it. And I think that like the majority of us, that's what we're choosing to do. And so I really wanted to highlight that. I really did. And so again, teacher brain, teacher skill set, like it was, that's what I do all day long at work is we don't use textbooks anymore. Like that's how teachers teach. That's how they get their information across. And that's how they get kids engaged is by creating things like just like the magazine. So it was just, it was very easy for me to kind of transfer those skill sets over and create something that celebrated grief because I felt like it needed to be done. You know,
the magazine is called Get Griefy. And you have your second edition out now.
Yes.
The first edition was 104 pages. I was blown away when I saw 104 pages. You can look at it online and you can get print copies if you like as well. And we'll have the links to everything of Kara's stuff here for sure. So don't worry about that. It'll all be in the information of the podcast. Get Griefy Magazine. And yeah, it is very bright, you know, which is, I agree with you that, and that's something about that I wanted to get across with this too. It's that, you know, it's a positive aspect of things. You know, it's bad enough we're going through what we're going through, but, you know, it's okay to be okay sometimes. And so, you know, there is positive. I didn't want everybody to think the Heroes in Grief podcast is going to be all downers and, you know, all these, you know, sad stories and everything. Nothing of the sort, believe me, because you and the other people that I have lined up already as guests are just unbelievable folks who you know, are putting it into purpose and taking that energy, that negative energy, and turning it into something positive. And that's amazing. But yeah, that you have a nice fresh look to it and everything. And so it's amazing. How many pages is the second one? I didn't get to that one yet because the other one's so big.
Oh my gosh. I got to look. It actually might be a little bit longer, but they're right around 100 pages.
That is astounding. That is great. Can you imagine a regular 100-page magazine? I mean, you know, that's great. And all the graphics are fantastic. The stories are great. Amazing people in there. And I want to encourage everybody to get on there and look at Get Griefy Magazine and check it out. So you mentioned a couple other things. You know, I like bringing out all the different things that people do. And this came up recently, too, where you talked about a playlist. And actually, I'm in a men's group that we meet on Friday nights in a Zoom call. And we've all lost children. And so it's neat to all to get together with the men. So they were talking about their playlists and everything. And one guy looked up on Spotify and he said he found his son's playlist. And I guess they're public. Aww. And so I while we were talking in the meeting, I just went to Spotify and I checked under Jeff's name. I found one Jeff Bender, but it's not him. I can tell by the music it's not him. But it said made for Tom, which is me. So it was really odd to see that in you know, Jeff Bender made for Tom. It's like those connections that come, you know, and things. So it was pretty awesome. But I love those ideas, you know, those the ideas that that help people, because so many people are stuck, you know, and it's just it's horrific, really, because when you get in sometimes the realm that we're in, you know, where we get purposeful and things, and then you come across those people, you got to remember that we all deal with things the way that we deal with them. There's no right or wrong way, really. And so it's important to get back in touch and be in touch with them too, still, and not just blow over them that way. Mm-hmm. So, but I love the diversity of things, you know, like things already that you've done. That's really what I want to bring out. I've got some great, you know, the guests lined up that I do all different kinds of things to help you through your grief. And so I'm hoping it touches a lot of different people that way. And you're so right too, that when you get in this community, you're kind of locked in it and you want to get out there and get to everybody. It's hard to do. Not everybody wants to talk about grief unless it happens to them. So pretty much it has happened to everybody in some way, but you know, it's got to be the right time for everybody. So, you know, I know what you mean about trying to get things out there and, you know, you can't worry about the response level sometimes of what's going on. But so what's your plan, you know, for the future? You got more things in the works? Do you, is something, you know, are you going to expand on something you've already done? What's the plan?
You know, I don't know. A lot of people have asked me that, and I would be honored, and I would just love more than anything to take Get Griefy to more of a well-renowned like level, and everyone knew what it was, and it would be really cool if that was like my job. But the reality is, like right now, I'm still working full time, and yeah, it's a tough situation to be into, because I really am dedicated and wanting to always keep the virtual version free for everyone. I think that everyone needs to have access to it. So I'm hoping to maybe acquire like some sponsorships or something like that. That would be really nice. But I don't know. I would really like to turn it into a community. It would be really cool to do some events. But yeah, I don't know. I think I just need to remain open to what the universe sends my way. And so far, I've been pretty receptive to the things that kind of just drop in, and I usually run with them. So I just need to, keep that in mind, that sometimes ideas come and we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, I'm definitely like really into collaborating with people and working with different people. And I really do think that that's how the work gets done, is by working with others. So I think that that's why this podcast is great as well, because that's what you're doing. You're collaborating with all these different types of faces of grief. And it's important for people to have a sense of inspiration and like hope, you know, it's needed. So I don't know. I wish I had a better answer, but stay tuned, yeah. I guess. We'll see.
We will. I think that's extremely important to listen. You know, open yourself up when you can get past those initial stages, and a lot of time to reflect. Of course, you reflect a lot when you're grieving. And, you know, I want to encourage, you know, everybody just to take some quiet time and just listen to things, because that did happen with me. I'm a go-getter too, like that. And so it was back last summer when this idea came to me, and it wasn't the right time. It just wasn't. I wasn't ready. And that was made pretty clear. You know, it kind of frustrated me a little. I was like, why? Well, you don't just get an idea like that and then it doesn't happen. And so, you know, down the line, eventually it was like, this is it. This is the time. And now's the time. So it's okay. You know, let it sort out. Let it work in you. You know, stay healthy in your grief. It's an important thing, a real important thing. And I want to, you know, you've been extremely encouraging and supportive of what I'm doing. I appreciate that very much, for sure. That's been neat. Yeah. And connecting with the folks and learning all the great things too. You know, you learn from everybody and what they're doing. And that's awesome. So, you know, it's a great thing. I guess, I don't know, what else? I always wanted to, you know, I wanted to come up with a question maybe for everybody. About grief or something. And one that came to me today was, if there's one thing, you know, you know, when you're learning about things and you're getting better in help with your grief and everything else, there's sometimes these little things just stick out that seem to be rare or something that really could strike somebody. Is there anything like that comes to mind for you that, what about that?
I mean, I feel like I could talk about this a lot, but Something that actually hit me last night, and it caught me off guard because I'm coming up on 2 years and I feel like for all intents and purposes, like I'm okay, right? I'm carrying on the best that I can, and I'm still honoring my mom. And I feel like this in some way maintains our connection. I had spoken to someone last night that we had not spoken for like over 2 years, and this person doesn't have social media. Like we lost touch. We haven't spoken to for a long time. And we were finishing up the phone call and they asked me, you know, how are your parents doing? And it was like a gut punch to have to explain to somebody like what had happened, because for the most part, everyone just knows, you know? And so that was kind of hard for me to tell them, well, you know, actually my mom, she died, you know? And so I was reflecting last night, I was putting my daughter to bed and I was just like, it almost felt like a nightmare. Like I had woken up from a nightmare and it was just like, wow, like this really did happen to me, huh? You know? And so I feel like those moments where your grief kind of sneaks up on you are just so normal. And that's just something I would tell anyone who is grieving or who is going through this process where you feel like it's supposed to have like an end date or you're supposed to be cured at some point. Like we never get there. We never fully get cured. Like it's not something that you can cure and it's not something you want to cure. It's just something that you learn to live with. And sometimes you have flare-ups. And so I think that that's like really important to touch on and acknowledge, because while it may look on paper or may look online that, oh, she's got it together. She's running a grief magazine. She's talking about grief all the time. Yeah, I am. But there are still some days where it's extremely overwhelming and it's extremely difficult to acknowledge that this is my reality. So I think that was like kind of an aha moment last night of, wow, like this really is like the real deal, huh? You know? And so I think just reflecting on that is important and talking about that is important, because I'm sure that there's some people that judge themselves or don't give themselves enough grief, gives themselves enough grace in the grief. You just have to be gentle with yourself and others, because it's a long journey,
yeah.
You know, and it's a lifelong journey.
It is. And that's a great advice. So many don't have the connections that maybe we have come up with or whatever. And it's important to know that you're normal. You know, and all the weirdness that goes on, you know, and I agree. I sometimes analyze it and it's very, very strange psychologically what happens. And it's different than anything else, you know, so it's important to know your normalcy in that and to be okay with that. It's very odd. We just talked about this actually in that men's group too, was talking about this exact subject. And how weird it is and how, you know, just, whoa, where did that come from? Or, you know, the intensity of that feeling at this time or something just activates you, you know, like, bam, you know, and it's like, wow, I thought I was past that. But it's not the way you got to look at it. You know, you just got to say it's a companion that you got.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're going to be a jerk. You know, sometimes they're just going to be an idiot.
Yes,
so, you know, it's kind of like a relative that are stuck to you, you know, and it's like, well, I'm just going to have to deal with that, I guess. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to get across to anybody? Like I said, it's I'm going to get all your information out to everybody, all the links there and everything. And, you know, send her a message. Kara, I'd love to hear from you and what you're dealing with and everything. And we're all approachable on all of this stuff. And, you know, we just want to encourage people to help others in this. Like you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly. My whole thrust now is to love and help others. It puts such a tenderness in your heart, I think, when, you know, you experience that grief. And so, and I think that's our purpose, you know, so that works out great. So anything else you want to get across or talk about?
No, I just have to echo that like 99% of the people that I've interacted with from this grief journey online have been incredibly welcoming people that just want to embrace your story and they want to hear you out and be there. And so it's been refreshing, and it's also kind of given me a new perspective on humanity, Which that's been really nice. That's been like the positive part of this whole experience is just seeing how many incredible people there are out there that really do care about others. And that's been really special to be a part of. And just in, like, I feel honored, right, to call these people like internet friends, because it's just beautiful. There's really no other way to say it than it's really lovely to know that there's that many people out there that really want to help. And so it's been nice.
Yeah, it's a big group hug, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Which is good. It's overwhelming and it's awesome. And like you said, I love the points that came out in this, and you know, that the positivity, especially, you know, that it's okay to be okay, and it's okay not to be okay, on both. And so that tidal wave, you know, whatever, the ebbs and flows that go on, all normal, you know, all these things. And I'm sure they're going to come out again and again in the stories. You know, it's important for people to hear that again and again, because, you know, one person's going to be listening to this that, you know, didn't hear something else. And so that's just the way it goes, and the purpose of why we do what we do. You know, that's there's just a lot of good that comes out of it. I'm glad you're here for us, and I'm glad we got acquainted. You know, it's I'm sure I'll have you on again, because there's more down the line. I have a sneaky suspicion. So, you know,
we'll see.
So, and you know, I think you get those little tweaks of, you know, you said you'd love to do this full time or something. That may be something you might prepare for, because I think those ideas come for a reason. And you know, to kind of just, you know, cautiously look at that too, those kind of things, because it's big and it's great, and I want to tell everyone to go check it out. So again, Kara Sanchez, thank you so much for coming on Heroes in Grief. It's you're someone I wanted to get on right away, because I love what you're doing, and you know,
thank you.
And yeah, definitely, you know, I love these unique things like that, like you started with the journal. And, you know, I'm just really energized because of things like that, that, you know, some people are going to gravitate to, and they're going to love it. And they're going to say, oh, I'm so glad this is out there. And, and thank you for just making yourself available, because not everybody will. Of course, we want to tell people to do that. So thanks, Kara. We appreciate it. You know, we'll see you out there soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we got to do this. This has been fun.
Thank you for listening to the Heroes in Grief podcast. If you'd like access to any of the links that we discussed in today's show, you can find them in the show notes. There's also a link there to support the podcast if you care to. And there is an email link for me there. I'd love to hear from you and your ideas about the show, or what you thought about the show. You really can help out this podcast to get to more people if you subscribe, rate, or review it in whichever way your platform provides. Each week, Heroes in Grief is released on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, so look for new episodes there. Thank you again for listening to Heroes in Grief.